Hey kids, welcome to a special edition of the Stunt Granny Audio, because we're going to try to make this one short, but God only knows with us. I'm definitely not going to threaten a 3-hour show like I did last week. And here, after a long, lengthy absence, Mr. Jeremy Mace. How you doing, Jeremy?
Hey man, what's going on? Hello everyone.
Yeah, we haven't had too many pay-per-views to preview here recently, so...
Well, no, because they're not... After the last TNA one, there was a moratorium. And what happened? What WWE
well,
one
and
did we miss?
WWE cut down to 14 pay-per-views this year instead of 16.
Oh, so it wasn't 14 just in the month of November?
Yeah, so, hey, at least they kind of listened to us. At least they cut two of them out there. That makes things a little bit better.
Yeah, what'd they get rid of what? No. Homecoming turned into what, Extreme Rules or something like that? And or did Cyber Sunday become Extreme Rules? So that was one they got rid. The one they got rid of was Cyber Sunday and turned into something totally different.
Was that the one that turned into Bragging Rights?
Yes. One of them turned into Bragging Rights. That's correct. Bragging Rights for what? Nobody knows. So.
Bragging Rights right before Survivor Series.
Yes.
Brilliant plan, guys.
Yeah. Well, you know, because you couldn't have that match on Survivor Series and make that worth ordering. So, yay.
Yay us.
Yeah, wow. I can't imagine why I miss doing these things. God damn.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, I do believe, since you were not part of the fine broadcast from last Wednesday there when Eric and I trotted out our opinions on the Monday Night War, which lasted all of 1 week.
Monday Night Rawr. Fucking horseshit.
Was there something in particular that you wanted to bring up? I know you mentioned that you wanted to at least bring something up, or just a general overview on your end of things.
Well, yeah, because I figure that's what everyone wants to hear is news that's over a week and a half old. But since I have such a bulging ego, I decided that maybe I should actually pipe in. I don't know, man. We kind of shared most of the same thoughts when we were watching them at the same time that night. But... I don't know. I guess, and it also being coming in late, none of my opinions may actually be relevant now. But listening to, I believe it was Jim Cornette, talking about how it was nice seeing WWE and TNA talking about issues from 12 years ago. And that was my huge thing. And that's what I thought Impact was just, to me, it was embarrassing. And I think that was a word I kept using over and over again when... Scott Hall, and they showed Scott Hall and I guess they're calling him Pac right now. I don't know what they're calling Sean Waltman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I guess maybe we'll find out more on Thursday.
Oh.
Well.
Yeah, and really that was your bigger point, too, if you seem hesitant here to express anything really about the Monday night there.
Well, no. My whole thing was, first, you watched all of Impact, and those dumb bastards never once told you Impact airs on Thursday at 9 o'clock. They never once told you the actual night and time the show was on. They kept saying how it was a special broadcast and this and this and this and this. But then, if anybody turned on Spike last night at 9 o'clock, they saw UFC. So they did UFC a bigger service than TNA's own marketing.
Yeah, well, and I think that's something that we didn't really bring up. I mean, I didn't even think about that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really did not bring up the fact that they're normally on.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I guess it's kind of hard to say that because of the other development that we didn't really talk about. I don't know if it's a development. Or just the simple fact that they decided to repeat that Impact that coming Thursday. Like, because they didn't have another show in store, they couldn't say, hey, tune in on Thursday. You know, we're normally on Thursdays. It's kind of like, hey, tune in this Thursday to see a rerun of this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Because that would have been the plan. And it doesn't matter. I mean, capitalize on the energy. You know, for whatever reason, have I don't know, have another taping the following Monday and Tuesday, just, you know, and then start your new schedule over, is you've got, and for them, and I don't know, and maybe Eric would disagree or Dusty, but 1.5 to me isn't that big of a number for, and that's what, for anyone who doesn't know, that's what TNA drew, was a 1.5 rating, which is what, 2 million people. And they're celebrating this, oh, it's a great accomplishment and this and this. And for all of the advertising, for all of the names they pulled in, to not, all right, I'm not used to being the one that gets to talk the most. So all the stuff gets intertwined. All right, I'm going to try and be concise. Anyone who knows me knows this is impossible. So,
well, no, I mean, it's making some sense, so just keep on rolling with it here.
All right, so basically they're saying a 1.5 rating is a win. Okay, your 1.5 rating would have been a win if you would have said, hey, make sure and catch our show Thursday at 9. You know, you've got your big angles, like, and Jeff Hardy was a big angle. As weird as it was to see him, it was a big angle. And then you've got Ric Flair, who didn't say anything. And you've got, well, what's Hulk Hogan going to do? They should have capitalized on that by having a show on Thursday instead of waiting from, what's today's date, the 12th? From January 5th? Oh, no, 11th?
Yeah,
oh, God 11th. Damn it. January 4th all the way to January 14th. You've given 10 days for people to forget about your promotion again. I mean, I watch Spike TV. I don't see any ads for Impact.
Well, and the other thing that they really could have done, too, is do what the WWE does. God, there are two other programs. I mow through them mostly because there's the Raw Rewind on ECW, and then they either have a Raw Rewind or something else on SmackDown that I just buzz right through.
Right.
They really, TNA didn't really need to record 2 hours of programming. If they wanted to show highlights, they certainly could have done an hour interspliced in with some of the highlights from Monday night and still had a new program that they could have said, hey, tune in this Thursday for, you know, at our regular time slot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then you have, like, the Hogan coming out kind of deal, you know, rerun that whole angle. I mean, even though the thing was horrendous, you know, you have to rerun that, really.
Yeah.
So you chew up, like, 20 fucking minutes of your time slot right there. You know, if you just rerun that, so you're like, okay, so we're down to, well, $1.40 minus whatever commercial breaks they need. You know, even at that point, you know, you're down to what? Probably like an hour and 15 minutes or something.
Yeah.
Of programming that you really needed.
And they love those pre-stage segments, like video packages, all that stuff. I mean, not that you want to carry your momentum over and then all of a sudden just say, hey, here's a clip show with a couple matches. Well, anyway, that's how Impact is all the time. Never mind.
Well, and they even could have gotten, like, well, and you're saying about backstage commentary, there wasn't anything from anybody, really, about, you know, their reaction to Hogan being in there.
Right.
For the most part. AJ Styles got to talk to Eric Bischoff for a little bit. But he's your champion. They did a decent job of pushing him, you know, with his win over Angle. But shouldn't he kind of be the voice of the company for the most part? Well, but that goes back to one of TNA's major problems, is that everybody is the voice of that company.
Yeah, well.
You have a founder, you have an owner, you have a major shareholder.
But he's not a major shareholder anymore.
He's not a major shareholder anymore.
Or no, or wait, are we confusing Jeff? Oh, fuck. all right. Yeah. So, yeah. No, that's a whole different subject. And not that it's a bad one, but it's like they got rid of Jim Cornette, who was TNA's on-air authority, I think. Was that his title, on-air authority?
Yeah.
And then you had Tracy Brooks was the Knockouts handler.
Yeah, who never really handled them.
No. I mean, she used her stroke to be part of the main event mafia that broke up 2 weeks later. I'm still disappointed by those Playboy picks too. I don't know what I was expecting, but I expected better. But the other thing with TNA is people who turned in, they gave away so much in that first hour that nothing stuck. And I mean, you had no particular order. Jeff Hardy shows up, Ric Flair shows up, Scott Hall and Sean Waltman show up, Hulk Hogan shows up. That's, I mean, even if it's old news and old wrestlers, that's a lot of attention-grabbing stuff. And I also think by giving all those away outside of Jeff Hardy, who I'll get to in a second, I had, that's close enough, fuck it. I had Elise's son, Bishop, we were watching it over at her place.
Right.
And we had turned it on, and he goes, Ric Flair? I was like, yeah. And he's like, is that? He's like, I remember watching him when I was little. He's just turned 15 in a month. And I was like, I looked at him, I was like, I remember watching Ric Flair when I was little. And then he goes, is that Hulk Hogan? I'm like, yeah. He's like, wow, he's got to be really desperate.
Oh my God!
I've said before, I use my parents as like a measuring stick for something's popularity. So like they know who Triple H is. So I finally have to admit that Triple H may actually be a bigger star than I want to let on or admit to. They know who John Cena is, so he counts. Mm-hmm. But then I mentioned the name Jeff Jarrett. My parents had no clue who that was, and I dragged my dad and my mom to wrestling matches back at the Ritual Coliseum, and Double J was there. I mean, they remember some guys, but
right.
I mean, these are like TNA stars. They have no clue who AJ Styles is. My dad doesn't even know who Kurt Angle is, and I mean Bishop, he has no clue who he saw the commercial for Hulk Hogan, and he was like, "What's TNA?" And I think that's when I was talking to you the next day. I messaged you just going, this is their target audience, and they're totally missing it.
Well, I don't know. And that was another thing that we didn't really get into. Like, I found that to just be hilarious in the aftermath of that, is that the people are like, the people that criticize the show, they're like, well, Bischoff said that, oh, it wasn't supposed to be, you know, I'm sorry that I'm not delivering what Jim Cornette wants or something like that.
No, it's what they thought was going to happen. It was something like that. Oh, well, I'm sorry. I get what you're talking about.
Yeah, but then the problem was they interviewed all of those people beforehand, all the fans beforehand, and that's what they said they wanted. You know, there's one guy like, I don't want any of this entertainment crap anymore. I want to see real wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're not going to do that and you don't plan on doing that, you have the choice to not put that guy on TV. You know?
Yep.
Like, that's fine. Like, if you want to do entertainment, I don't give a crap. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's your choice. Like, I'm going to pan you for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But
here's the other way of looking at that, though. Who knows how many people they filmed? He may have actually been, of like, what, 10 or 15 they might have used, he might have been one of the only bright spots they could use. I mean, I've seen the people standing in line outside the impact zone. It's not a pretty sight. It's not.
I don't even care about the impact zone. I've seen the people going down the Raw, like,
oh yeah,
here in Columbus. Fuck them.
I still think Cleveland's probably the worst one. The awful sea of humanity that piled into that place. Ugh.
They were just awful fans.
No, yeah, they still are. So, but yeah, with the whole Impact thing, they're missing their target audience. They didn't do any momentum out of the show. I mean, the show's going to go right back down to a 1 or a 0.9 Thursday. And it's just going to validate what the only level-headed people, or what only level-headed people are thinking about all this. I mean, the 1.5 to me is not a big rating when you've got Hulk Hogan pimping this shit everywhere. I mean, he promoted this than his own book, more so than his own book.
Kind of, sort of. I mean, he still had more platforms that he could have talked about it in and didn't because he was going on that Australian tour.
True. Yeah. And, but then I guess...
And really, as much as he wants to think that Bubba the Love Sponge is one of the great voices in radio, our crowd is like half the size of Bubba's, so Bubba can go and fuck right off.
Yeah.
He only gets reported on websites. Like, he isn't even on Sirius anymore. Like, yes, he has a time slot with on Howard Stern's station, but that's it.
Oh, he does? Oh. I never listened to that one anyways. So.
Well, it's fucking Sirius. Who gives a shit? It's Howard Stern. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. And it is Sirius now. It's not Sirius XM because all the good XM shit's gone. Except for Opie and Anthony. That's it. They've ruined all the other stations, so.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah. Well.
But, yeah, it's just like, dude, and the fact that, well, and I.
Wait a minute, Ellis is pretty good. I forgot, Jason Ellis is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Ron and Fez, obviously, but that's an XM holdover.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
But, it was kind of that point, too, that I made with Bubba when he was talking about how disorganized it was back there, and I'm just like. Dude, seriously, like, I know that Hogan's your boy and that you'd do anything for him, but don't you kind of think about this shit beforehand or, like, look into it yourself and go, oh, yeah, this is a good idea. Like, he knew that Hogan was going to do this when he signed with them. Like, wouldn't you have watched the program?
Yep.
You know, between the point that your boy signed and, you know, any time after that?
Yeah. Well... I totally lost my train of thought on that. So, but no, I mean, Bubba's just a whore for attention anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I thought, oh, this is it. And him not coming back is absolutely fine, but apparently he's back for Thursday. But the funniest part was I read, and I know we talk about this site all the time, but Powell over at prowrestling.net, when he was his live write up, and Jeremy Borash found somebody down, but then Bubba interrupted and he goes, I have a pretty good idea who it was. And Powell, and you don't usually see this from Powell's writing, but he goes, well then tell us, asshole. He's like, imagine a real sports commentator saying, I'm pretty sure I know what the injury is, but just don't say, I mean, and they don't say anything. And that just cracked me up. And I was like, that's exactly yet another problem with these idiots. Besides, and this was my biggest point, was how embarrassing it seemed. Like Hulk Hogan, he still has a cool factor about him. He still understands how to play the crowd, and regardless of how he's doing it, the guy has remained in incredible shape for someone his age.
Yeah, and his limitations, really. I mean, I can't believe that guy is doing a whole lot of cardio with how shot his hip is.
Right, yeah. But then, conversely, you have, well, I'll leave Kevin Nash out of this because he looks to be in better shape than he was back in his NWO days, the original NWO days. Sean Waltman, he looks the exact same somehow. Well, again, yeah. I'll leave that part out. But then you have Ric Flair, who just he looks like a heart attack waiting to happen. Just walking, he looks like he's gonna stroke out. He's perpetually red. The dye job he does on his hair makes him look even redder. And it's just sad after that. Quite frankly, an amazing send-off they gave him after WrestleMania 24. That should be it. I mean, that we should have never seen him again outside of public appearances.
Yeah, the guy just can't keep his fucking money away from ex-wives.
In New Wives. Yeah.
In New Wives. Like, I mean, it's just sorry that a 6-year-old guy can't learn his lesson after, like, the 90th time that he's had mm-hmm. to learn it.
Yeah.
I just don't feel bad for that guy. If he does have a heart attack in the ring, I honestly will not feel bad.
Yeah, that's
your own goddamn fault. That guy has made so much money.
And pissed it all away.
Yeah.
And all the stuff.
Buddy.
Yeah, and him partying after Impact and all that, still acting. I mean, there's part of me that's like, hell yeah, act it up. It's your life. I mean.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, it's like.
If he wants to do it, that's fine. But that also makes me not feel bad if he does have a fucking heart attack in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, well, I guess there's a certain. I guess there's also a certain part of like personal responsibility in this thing to where, you know, I have absolutely no problem with. If a 60-year-old guy wants to go and act like a 20-year-old frat boy, more power to you. Better than sitting around wasting away. But in Ric Flair's case, this guy's life is pretty much a perpetual mess. So it's like, you know, maybe, and I hate using the term grow up, but maybe if you grew up a little bit, you could avoid these situations so you could party like a 19-year-old frat boy instead.
Yeah, or a 24-year-old frat boy who at least got out of college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but then...
Doesn't have to do keg stands anymore.
Yeah, but then there's... Scott Hall that shows up. Holy shit. If they called Scott Hall the day before Impact and said, hey, we want you to be here, here's a contract, then okay, that excuses the way he looks. But if he knew ahead of time, I know everyone fights their demons, but for Christ's sake, man. Have some pride. And the funniest thing that happened on Impact was at the end when Scott Hall's attacking Mick Foley, and he actually has the audacity to say, get up, fat boy.
I was on the floor laughing.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, did he really say that? And then you've got...
The guy hiding Hornswoggle underneath his shirt is calling somebody else fat.
In his cheeks as well. Fuck, man. I guess that's what alcoholism looks like when you get to be 50. But then you've got Mick Foley trots out. You know, they show him backstage. Not exactly looking the youngest. Then you've got the Nasty Boys. A team nobody clamors for showing up. And Jerry Sags, I thought that guy had a back injury that he couldn't wrestle anymore. At least that's what he was saying for his insurance. I think it was one of those insurance policy things. So they show up at the door, and it's like, are you fucking kidding? When was the last time they were on TV? Was it in the year 2000? And I'm being nice about this.
Oh, like actually, like wrestling on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I mean, Knobs was on Hogan Knows Best.
Yeah,
but,
and he was made into a joke, a comedic. I mean, he was pure comedy fodder.
Yeah,
because look at the guy. I mean, and this is where the embarrassment ratcheted up to 1,000%. They're in the back, and the guys bring him like they somehow get in, and. The guys bring him donuts as a peace offering. Because of the Nasty Boys, they used to eat donuts. Okay. If anyone remembers. Then they start Then they start tearing apart the locker room. And I'm sorry, by tearing apart the locker room is they throw something on the ground. Jerry Sags struggles to throw lockers down. And then they take some spray paint out and spray paint a picture of the Dudleys.
No, it wasn't the Dudleys. I'm pretty sure it was just a picture of Devon.
Oh, you're right. Yes, it was just Devon. Yes. The match no one ever asked for. There is no money in Team 3D in this country. Maybe the Japanese guys love them still. There is absolutely no money in the Nasty Boys.
Well, maybe if you brought in like a true historical tag team... Like, maybe if you somehow brought back Demolition.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Or even, is Butch Reed still alive?
Yeah, remember he was at Teddy Long's wedding a couple years ago.
Oh, hell yeah.
Ron Simmons and Butch Reed, Doom versus the Dudleys? Hell yeah, I'd love to see that.
Yeah, like...
With old Jerry Curl, Teddy Long? Hell yes.
Well,
no, it was Teddy Long.
Yeah, I know it was Teddy Long, but the best they can... They're not going to get Teddy Long from his probation, unfortunately.
Yeah, or maybe the Dudleys versus Ming and the Barbarian. I'd love to see that one. Because Bubba Ray couldn't pull the shit he pulls with other teams in the ring. Because fucking Haku would just beat the shit out of him. And that'd be great to see.
I just want to see that afro back on TV again.
No, remember he cut it. They had that Where Are They Now things.
Oh.
Yeah, he cut that thing down. He looks like King Haku again.
Oh, well, how long has that been, though, since he had that Where Is He Now thing?
Yeah, a year or so. Yeah, but if it was WWE, I'd actually expect him to have it. Because they'd be like, hey, listen, we're going to bring you in a few months. So start picking that thing out.
Yeah. That thing was a thing of beauty.
Hell, even Harlem Heat versus the Dudleys wouldn't be too bad. And yes, that takes into account how bad Booker T sucks now.
Yeah,
Nasty Boys?
Yeah, the Nasty Boys, just they're not that legendary.
They're not legendary at all.
Yeah, what the fuck am I saying?
Yeah, well, they had what? Jimmy Hart was their manager, and he had like the awful Nasty Boys jacket on. And that's all I remember of them. And I'm sure they had some hardcore matches with Public Enemy or some ridiculous shit. But no, they're atrocious. They were never... And I even liked Bad Guys, and I hated them.
Yeah, no, there's not any money in them.
No. And then, Val Venus shows up, or the towel guy. And I'm like, okay, that's just sad. It's good for him because he gets some money, but it's sad at the same time because I don't even have the words to describe how sad that was to me. Because Val was cool. I remember us cheering when we were in school. Like this guy's bits are hilarious. And then he was solid. You know that he had that one match against Billy Gunn where he had over 20 moves he used. So
I forgot. We had the Val Venus maneuver count.
Yep. What did it always get? The what, four?
Yeah, it was four because there was always that running knee that he did.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, because he threw the guys up against the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck, what else was there? Was it the fisherman suplex?
Yes, fisherman, but yeah. And then the splash. I'm sorry, the money shot. But yeah, I remember, I don't know what pay-per-view it was, but wasn't Ken Shamrock the referee? It was right before WrestleMania, so it might have been St. Valentine's Massacre. And I just remember we're all sitting around, and Galden especially just went, that's number five. And I was like, holy shit. And we started yelling at the TV for him to slow down because he was already on move three, and it was only like 2 minutes into the match.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, completely forgot about that.
Yeah. What was the name of those condos?
Glenn Morris.
No. This was at your place when you lived with Galden.
Oh fuck, I don't remember.
Okay. Yeah, Glenn Morris was the Iron Sheik Harvest incident where you turned on the TV and were like, is that the Iron Sheik?
No, you came running out of your room telling me that the Iron Sheik was on.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. It's like one of the few Mondays I was actually not in studio.
Mm-hmm. And see, all right, and that's the difference. The Iron Sheik showing up was done as a one-off, like, kind of goofy thing. Whereas the Nasty Boys, Val Venus, this NWO crap, is done for the purpose of getting people to watch. Well, the Iron Sheik was there as, all right, this is a bit character in a bigger play.
Yeah.
I mean, he's basically the equivalent of the guy that signs the assassin in at the hotel. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, no. He's always a bit character for the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and they're sticking around on an already bloated roster.
Yes.
no matter if they want to kick off fucking Cody Deaner and who was the other guy that got booted out of there recently?
The Middle Eastern guy who's not Middle Eastern.
Oh, Daivari.
Daivari, that's it.
Or whatever, it's Sheik Abdul Bashir.
Yeah, yeah. But then, what else? Who else was on? Oh, and then Orlando Jordan shows up. And I just went, really? The guy that main evented with the Ultimate Warrior over in Italy? That Orlando
Spain,
Jordan?
Thank you.
Was a okay, sorry.
Yeah, don't insult Italy like
yeah.
that.
Has there been a clamoring for Orlando Jordan to show back up anywhere?
No.
Yeah. So, it pays to know people.
Oh, yeah.
And I just loved... And I know this wasn't real, but it sure seemed... It was real to me, damn it. When the Pope just looks at him like, what are you doing here? Like, kind of like, what the fuck are you?
Yeah, no, the Pope, like I said this last week, but he interrupted a perfectly good interview by the Pope.
Uh-huh. And it didn't go anywhere, either.
Uh-uh. He just fucked up the Pope's time, and I do not appreciate yeah. anybody fucking with the Pope's
no.
time.
Yeah, that's one guy, as soon as he can get out, he has to go back to WWE. He talks way too good. And that's still one of the weird ones. I never understood how they let him go, but... But yeah, but the whole show was awkward. I don't really have a problem with Bischoff because he still looks the same as he did the last time we saw him for WWE.
Well, and you know he's not going to be wrestling, so who gives a shit? Like,
well,
don't
say that.
Well, that's true.
So.
But more than likely, he's probably... Because even when he wrestled, he didn't really wrestle too often.
True, yeah.
So I would imagine that he's going to... you know, stay out of the ring. So what the fuck ever.
Okay. Yeah, and if they disperse and give him like one centralized duty on the show, and if he's like the guy that has to go, everything has to go through on the show, that's okay with me. I mean, I would rather not see a heel GM gimmick again. I think it's been kind of refreshing for WWE not to have one. You know, Tiffany's barely existent. They have the dueling Teddy Long, Vicky Guerrero thing, which is fine. And then the guest host, whatever. So.
Yeah. That is what it is.
Yeah.
They've really cut back on the amount of time that the guest host uses up here recently.
Yeah. But that was basically my whole thought of TNA. It was just embarrassing. I don't know. There was some good stuff on there, like Kong and Hamada winning the tag team championship. I thought that was a good idea, and hopefully they give it some focus. I would like to see that, but I honestly don't think with Hogan and Bischoff in charge that the women's division is going to be the same there. Not a chance.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And the same with the X division, which I don't even know who the hell the X division champion is right now.
Well, that was an amusing point that I didn't mention, that Amazing Red is the champion.
Ooh, God, really? Still?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, it's because the division doesn't... I mean, it's as bad as the Cruiserweights at the end of the title reign there. I don't care what how they try to pimp it. It's awful. And Don West didn't come out with Amazing Red, even though he's...
Oh, well, then there's no point to have Amazing Red, so... But... And then... And since I'm going to, I know this is a week old, so sorry I went a little long, but the one final thing, and this has to go with the Jeff Hardy thing, and we talked about the whole legal part. It's a weird move. But to compound the fact, the being weird and then being stupidly booked is something totally different. I mean, I understand that, you know, he may not be around, so you don't want to make him look too strong, but the fact that he was in the crowd is kind of cool. Him jumping and then getting beat up by Homicide for a bit and then laying out Homicide and then selling the injury from Homicide is ridiculous. There can be someone who's going to try and defend that by saying Homicide got the jump on him because TNA guys are tougher than WWE guys. That's bullshit. Jeff Hardy should have never even had anything to do with that X Division match. If he wanted to like climb that cage and like jump through the hole in the cage onto somebody, make it Kurt Angle or AJ Styles or Samoa Joe. He should have come out and immediately gone after a top guy if he was going to do some stupid shit like that. And not go backstage and paint. I understand Jeff's supposed to be an eccentric human being, but does he really carry his little Picasso tablet of paint and board and brush and get all that done?
Mm. No, he had an easel,
yes,
a canvas, and paint and oil paints with him.
Yes. Yeah.
And obviously brushes. So.
And then he left them there because when he was walking to his Ferrari or whatever that was, he didn't have it with him. But he had the perfectly dried painting with him for the three girls that somehow got backstage. And they're about 15, 14. So
no, they weren't even backstage. They were outside of the arena.
Okay, but yes, that's actually – there's a whole separate backstage area for that stuff.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. I mean, it's inside Universal Studios, but it's also a separate part. So you got to go through barriers and all that stuff. So the idea that they jumped the barriers and got back there without sucking a dick or something is ridiculous. But you can't mention that on air because, first, you can't. But then, second, they were way underage. So.
And not, I don't even care about the underage part, honestly. I think it's fucking still sad that they only had three people there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should have been a Beatles moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's Jeff Hardy. All the girls, you could hear it clearly. Well, okay, and the guys liked them too. But
well, girls and little kids. Hell yeah.
Just loved them. Yep. There should have been a mob of kids there.
Yeah, it should have been a Hard Day's Night Beatles style moment.
Yeah.
But no, and you pointed that part out with the girls, but then the more I thought about it, the more I was like, it really should have been just an insane amount of people running up to him. If security would have had to push him away, he'd be like, no, no, it's cool, it's cool. And just stayed and taped the shit. So then later on the show, he's still out in the parking lot signing autographs for everybody. Because that's how cool he is. That's how good he is with the fans. You got to build up somebody to get a younger audience in. And they've got the King Kid Getter, which is kind of weird to say, in Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
I mean, he did that shit left and right, and kids loved him, and that's how we still know him now. And we have no business still watching this stuff. So, that's all. And it just, they do some good, and then they just totally fuck themselves in the ass and screw it up. So, and that's them not following up on Thursday.
Hulk Hogan, I am going to humble you.
Yeah, just.
I need Eric.
But
you can't do a good Iron Sheik.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Okie dokie. Well, I think we've about hit our time limit here. We're going to try and keep this one kind of shortish.
Oh, that's cool.
Unless you want to keep on rolling here and go for a regular hour. I mean, I don't give a shit one way or the other.
No, I don't want to blow my load the first week or first day back after a month off or whatever. So.
Alrighty. Well, no, I mean, I
it'll,
think we...
It'll be getting better, so I can actually be on these again, so...
I think we got some blood out of that stone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hopefully.
So...
Hopefully when people don't see the write-up, they're like, fuck, they're still talking about that? So...
Oh, well. Make them listen.
Yeah, well, yeah. I guess.
New thoughts.
Yeah, new well, thoughts. As long as you download it, I don't care if you listen. Just download the thing, so... Make it look more impressive than it actually is. But
there was some new info in there, so
yeah. Dude,
let's roll with it.
Real quick, do you watch that Biggest Loser show?
No, only when I'm on, only when I'm doing.
Oh, that's right.
Cardio in the gym.
That shit is hilarious.
Pig Whore used to watch that, so I don't watch it.
No, well.
Well, even when Pig Whore was around, I did not watch it that much because I don't like it. People arguing with me isn't amusing, and or not arguing with me, but people arguing isn't amusing. So, like, figuring out who's going to get voted off, I could give a shit less. But, yeah, those fat people are really fat this time around.
Yeah, they're a train wreck. One dude weighed over 500-something pounds. I was like, holy crap, man. But, no, Elise and I were watching it, and I guess pretty much everyone... anyways, never mind. Yeah, but we're watching it, and it's just an excuse to belittle and berate fat people to their face. I was like, what a gutsy show, because they wrapped it up under the auspices that they're trying to help them, but all they're doing is just belittling them.
And getting ratings out of it.
Yeah.
Products.
I mean, I guess it helps them in the end, because they do end up losing weight, but, you know, whatever, that's not fun to me, so... All right. Well.
Yeah. Nope. There's a reason. Even though M didn't have too many good ideas, she always called that fat people running.
Yeah.
She never called it the Biggest Loser.
Okay. All right. Well. All right. Real quick, and then I'll drop the subject. But
that's fine.
They had this. The challenge today was they had to go across a 40-foot balance beam over a pool. Okay. And.
Oh. Okay.
So you're seeing these. Just people the size of Norman, but like twice the size of Norman the Lunatic. And one guy looking like Norman, except minus the beard. And his mom, this one guy's mom, doesn't know how to swim. So this is so fucking awesome. She wouldn't cross the beam. Well, her son finally gets across. And she has to walk across. She takes two steps out. Gets freaked out, goes to turn, loses her balance, and instead of doing the smart thing and falling in the shallow end, she turns and she hops back on the side of the pool, and does face first right into a bench. So there's this mess of humanity. She's got blood pouring out of her nose. And then they like wrapped her up, so she's got like a cast over her arm as well. Oh, I was in tears, and Elise is just looking at me going, "That is so mean." I was like, "I don't care." I was like, "Look at her."
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. She's an older lady, and she has a younger son.
Yes. The older son that's given up on life. I mean, he's bitching that he doesn't have a girlfriend and he's never had sex or something like that. And before I can say it, Elisa's like, I was like, yeah, there are worse things in life. Like, you know, not being able to walk up a flight of stairs, some really weak one. And Elisa goes back, yeah, or never being able to fuck a girl. I was like, oh, Jesus. It's like, yeah, I never really thought of it that way. Ugh. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think I found a good one in this one. She's got a really mean sense of humor, so it works out very well. So
outstanding.
Yes. So, but anyways, we can get into that on another show. So let's get the fuck out of here.
Alrighty. Well, what do you get for? Do you have last rights to sign off? Then yeah, fuck you. I intro'd, so you get to sign off last. So it's I've had one sippy time beer. It's time to get a second one before I go to bed, kids. Have a good night.
All right, and since this has been awkward, anyways, this is Jeremy, and we'll try and do better around the corner. Bye.